I like this quote unquote man on the street type reporting. I enjoy chatting with folks. And you know, I got to the polling place at Crosby City Hall, and here I know the head election judge because I've worked with her years before, and let her know what I was doing, so they weren't surprised that someone was lurking around talking with people, and just kind of, you know, say, hey, would you mind just filling me in on what brought you here tonight? And it's with this kind of a vote, with this kind of election, people are maybe less likely to feel nervous about talking about it because it's not like party politics. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, I also talked with a group of ladies, one of whom worked for the district, and you know, they each had totally different perspectives on why they were there to support it. But they were all there to support it, and I didn't talk to anyone actually who voted no. And I don't know if that was a coincidence, but it sure, by the numbers, sure seems like it would have been tougher to find someone who voted no.
So what can people look forward to in the Up North report and at KEXC.org about elections?
Well, you can check out all of the results. We're still waiting on one. We haven't seen War Roads results come in yet. So checking on that. But otherwise, we have all the results at our website. We also have a story up from our experiences at the polls. So you can check that out. Today, we'll be talking. I plan on talking with some folks in Crosby just about how this happened to have such a dramatic turnaround. I know that I got a text last night from a source over there saying, you know, we need to talk about this grassroots effort that that took place. And so we'll be doing some checking in with districts both that passed and didn't, and see what they have to say about that and what their plans are. So I check that out.
I bet the folks in Aiken want to know how their neighboring town made it happen.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And you know, it's always right next door to each other, and quite different results.
Yeah. Chelsea Perkins, our news director. You can find more information at KEXE.org. Hear the Up North report at 8:30 today and again at 11:01. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Coming up, we are going to be bringing you a conversation about downtown Bemidji, an event going on this weekend, and how some folks are trying to get more folks to get downtown and support local communities.
We receive support from the Bonner Eye Clinic, with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
And thanks to Move It Real Estate Group, assisting clients with real estate purchases and sales for over 25 years, not only in Grand Rapids, but across northern Minnesota. Move to what moves you. More at moveitrealestate.com.
And we receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and the land and elections of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. We operate translator K210DR in Brainerd, 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234.
So we were talking about Begonia, which starred Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons, and we got a couple texts I just want to point out.
All right.
From Lisa, talking about Emma Stone had a small part in an episode of Bones. Don't know her age, but quite young. A teenager, I think.
Oh, wow.
So I wonder if that was before Superbad or not. And then we heard from Brenda, The Power of the Dog. Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst were great, and absolutely, Power of the Dog is one of my favorite movies of the last 5 years,
sure. Okay.
Just all around terrific performances from everybody in that movie.
Good to hear from you. You can text us at 218-326-1234.
Now we're going to hear a tune from Brandi Carlile's new movie, new album, Returning to Myself. This is the title track.
Thank you. There's some freewheeling watcher shooting marbles in the sky, holding your ears between their fingers, watching it burn till the fire dies. Why is it heroic to untether? How is a lonesome holy grail? And if we really come and go unknown, couldn't I find myself in jail? Oh, keeper, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. Is it evolving, turning inward? Oh, what an easy way to be. Only kneeling at the altar of the great and mighty me. Let me break myself apart. Instead and scatter to my birds like a burial at sea to be the gospel without words. Oh, my darlings, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. There's no honor in the pilgrimage until a soul returns to hold another's hand, and then, and only then, it learns that life is like a stone, only skipping for a time. It'll never see the other side. And I was born to love you. I love you and you and you. Oh, returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. Returning to myself is just returning me. That's the only thing I want to do.
And that was a new tune from Brandi Carlile, Returning to Myself, fresh from an SNL performance
this past weekend. I have heard it was fantastic. I did not get to see it, but I'm loving her new album.
I honestly didn't know she had a new album until I saw that she was on SNL, and I was like, oh, she must have a new album.
It's right behind you on the new music art.
There's so much music hiding.
I know. Support this morning comes from the Timberlake Restaurant in Grand Rapids. They feature Martini Monday each week from 5 to 8. More information is available at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com.
And we receive support from the First State Bank of Big Fork, with branches in Big Fork and Kellyer, offering tools for managing money on any mobile device. Hometown banking at its best since 1912. FSBBigFork.com. Member FDIC.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, it is Headwaters with Kari Hedlund. And don't forget, this week our question is, do you have any hunting traditions or stories to share? Again, doesn't have to be that you're out in the deer stand, but maybe it's a weekend that you gather with your friends. So share your story with us. Text 218-326-1234. We're expecting sunny skies today with highs in the mid to upper 40s.
It is 8:10 here on the Wednesday Morning Show, and the two-day fall edition of Sip, Shop, and Stroll is back, going on this Friday and Saturday here in Bemidji. And here to talk more about it is Bemidji Downtown Alliance members Molly Miller and Heidi Myrie here joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Something to do on the first weekend of deer hunting downtown.
Yes.
Not everybody's in the deer stand.
Yes, the annual tradition.
Yeah, so for people that may not be familiar, what is Sip, Shop, and Stroll?
So it is a downtown event for those who are not going to the deer stand or the deer hunting cabin. It really started as kind of a female grab your girls, come out and shop, but it's turned into much more than that downtown. So we have restaurants involved. We have retailers involved. We don't care if you're male or female. We just want you to come downtown and kind of, it's a kickoff to the holiday season, really, is what it's become.
Yeah. So I couldn't remember. Isn't the first time it's been 2 days, or is this the first time it's been 2 days?
We've tried it both ways. Last year was just the Saturday. And what we found is people really needed 2 days to visit all of our shops. We have nearly 30 businesses, restaurants, and retail shops participating this year. So while you don't have to visit every shop, if you want to, 2 days is more doable than one.
Yeah. Let's talk about how this whole thing happens. And you're both on the Bemidji Downtown Alliance. What is it? What do you do?
Sure. The Bemidji Downtown Alliance is a group of volunteers, community members, business members, and our main goal is to enhance our downtown, to promote our downtown, encourage our businesses, bring people together, and create events like this, like Sip, Shop, and Stroll that's happening this weekend.
Yeah, so maybe describe, what is the Sip, Shop, and Stroll? What's the vibe like on those days?
Yeah, it's really fun. It's big groups of people who come in to, well, there's a lot of stuff happening around town. So there is something happening out at the fairgrounds as well. So people kind of start there and then they head downtown or vice versa. It's a full day of events happening in Bemidji. So downtown is a piece of that pie. And it's really fun. Every restaurant and retailer who's participating will have a QR code in their business. So these groups will go into each participant, or as many or as few as they would like to visit, scan the QR code. Every time you scan a QR code at a business, your name goes into a drawing to win gift cards. So every business has donated a $25 gift card. There will be 7 winners that will win a pack of gift cards, essentially, to downtown businesses. You don't have to scan every business, as I mentioned, but the more you scan, the more entries you get into winning that grand prize.
Yeah, and I would just add on to that, the vibe is festive. Like Molly mentioned, it's truly a kickoff to the holiday season, so I find it to be one of the most joyful events of the year. We love it downtown. People have a fun time. It's just great.
Yeah, it's not close enough to the holidays to be stressed yet, quite, you know, but to get yourself sort of ready. So what does it mean to each of your businesses to have this kind of a event going on?
Well, for us at Mary Piglets, it means a lot. We get a lot of foot traffic in the doors, and being a new business, this event is a great way for people to discover Mary Piglets. We have a lot of gifts at our store and home decor, Christmas related. And so for people that are wanting that and making their wish lists and decorating their homes, it's a great event for that.
I agree. And there are some new businesses on the list here. So just to name a couple of them, we have Tumbled Heart Designs. They are located right behind Bridget's Pub. And she does custom jewelry. So that's kind of her workshop office. And it sounds like she's allowing people to come in and see that for Sip, Shop, and Stroll. And then we also have Ellie Lake Thrift, and that is like a children's thrift store that just opened up downtown, too. So this event is just, it's great for getting exposure to people who you may not see otherwise.
Yeah, that's a great point of just like when, you know, you've been downtown a bunch of times, but there's like some stores I've just, you haven't been into. And then this is a perfect opportunity of like, you know what, I'm going to finally see what's inside there. And then find maybe what you're looking for. And like Heidi said, you're not quite stressed out yet for holiday shopping yet. Mm-hmm. So you can like convince yourself, you know what, maybe it's a time for a treat for me.
It sounds like there's a lot going on in downtown Bemidji, but like looking ahead in say a couple of years, what do you guys hope for what downtown Bemidji could be?
Well, I would say we're on the up and up. Wouldn't you agree, Molly?
Yes, I agree. I think we have a lot of storefronts that are full, which is fantastic. We have a lot of great restaurants with the different types of cuisines too, which is really fun. So I just hope, you know, we continue to grow. Bemidji is in a great spot right now. We're really enjoying the vibe we have downtown.
So for the drawing you mentioned, when does the actual drawing happen? Does it happen on Saturday night?
It will be early the following week, most likely on Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. And then would people get a text for it? How do they find out?
Yeah. When they come into each business and scan the QR code, they enter their information, which is going to include their name, phone number, and email address. So we'll more than likely reach out to them via phone.
Perfect. And so where can people find the full list of businesses that are participating?
They can visit BemidjiDowntown.org. That's our website. Or they can go to our Facebook page.
Yep, Bemidji Downtown Alliance is the Facebook page, and there's a list of everyone participating there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for stopping in to let us know about what's going on at Sip, Shop, and Stroll starting this Friday, going on Saturday, so you have plenty of time to get to all the places, scan those QR codes, and, you know, get to know your downtown.
Yes, and I do want to add on, some businesses will have extra things going on outside of this big drawing. So, like, restaurants may have drink specials, and some other shops may do add-on giveaways and whatnot. So it's going to be really fun. We're excited for people to come out and see us.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for stopping in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's the Wednesday morning show. It's People Powered KAXE. Tell us what's going on in your downtown. You can text 218-326-1234.
Now we're going to hear from our album of the week. This is Blue Moon Marquee in Northern Cree. The album's called Get Your Feathers Ready. This song is called Dirt Road Blues.
You're only gonna hurt your back looking down like that. Cut yourself a little more slack, baby. You're gonna have a heart attack, and they won't thank you. They don't make awards for that. We know by now the time does not take sides. We're only human. I don't need to see how it ends. I tell you that we'll never be here again. We're only human. I just want to feel my face in the sun. I never being human. It's
And that was Blue Moon Marquee and Northern Cree from their new album, Get Your Feathers Ready. It is our album of the week. It is Blue Moon Marquee is A.W. Cardinal on vocals and drummer and background vocalist Jasmine Collette. This collaboration came out of A.W. Cardinal's desire to dig into his Cree heritage through music and rhythm. And you can let us know what you think of the album of the week texting us at 218-326-1234.
That's Andrew DeZingle. I'm Heidi Holton. It's the Wednesday morning show. It's People Powered KAXE. For live music in our region tomorrow night, Seth Dowd's at the Turtle River Chop House in Bemidji. It's at 6. And on Friday night, Tate McLean at Jack Pine Brewery in Baxter at 6. Michaela James at Rapids Brewing in Grand Rapids at 6. Annie Humphrey and Fire in the Village at Room 203 in the Old Central School in Grand Rapids at 6. And Kelly Hunt will be at the Live Well Nightclub and Coffee Bar in Nisswa at 7, the Grassroots Concert Series. That's just Friday. Wow.
Yeah. And speaking of music, today on Headwaters, you can hear a live session and interview with Americana band Megan and the Birdwatcher, who recently released their second album, Americana Dream. And tomorrow on Headwaters, for the latest Spin That Ish, favorite music from the month of October from the KAXE music team, or as I like to call it, Rocktober.
Hey, speaking of, so I mentioned Annie Humphrey Friday night, but she's also going to be at Headwaters Music and Arts in Bemidji on Saturday night at 6 o'clock, and Michaela and Aaron will be at Bemidji Brewing Saturday night at 5 o'clock.
And the Bemidji High School Theater Department presents The Addams Family, a musical comedy, November 6th, 7th, and 8th at 7 p.m. at the school's auditorium. Find a ticket link on Facebook under Bemidji High School Theater. So I was wondering, Heidi, what was your first introduction to The Addams Family?
You were really wondering?
Well, I'm thinking about that because, like, I think it's different because there's been, like, so many different iterations of the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Like, there was the comic strip first, and then there was the TV show.
Right.
And then the movies happened, and then they did a TV show again, and then now that's got the animated movies, so.
You know, and they, if I'm not mistaken, the reruns were on of the original show.
Okay.
So that when I was growing up, so I did watch that somewhat. But I think, so, there were things on cartoons when I was growing up, especially on, like, Scooby-Doo, where they'd have crossover events. Remember how TV shows?
Oh, they crossed over with the Addams Family?
No, I think Flintstones might have.
Oh.
I think. I don't know. I might be remembering that wrong. Because I just always remember, like, you know, they did it on regular TV, too, like Gilligan's Island. Somehow the Harlem Globetrotters showed up for a couple days, but they got off the island. I don't know how that happened. Metal Lark Lemon. But anyway, I sort of always knew of them. And now that you say this, so my aunt, who is like 14 years older than I am, she had playing cards that were like big playing cards that it was like an Addams Family card game.
Mm.
And so I remember we were trying to play that game. I didn't really know what the show was then. And then some of the reruns were going on. So not a giant affinity towards it. Like, I've loved it, and I haven't really kept up on any of it afterwards, to be honest. So,
well,
how about you?
Well, then the TV show Wednesday, mm-hmm. that seems to be a huge hit too. So they've got some enduring quality in the
Addams
Family.
They sure do.
But my first introduction was probably the movie in the 90s with Raul Julia and Angelica Houston.
Yeah.
And what's the little girl's name? Christine? No.
Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester. But so, I don't know if you remember this, but you used to be able to get VHS tapes from McDonald's.
No.
You used to be able to do that. It would be like $6 for a VHS tape. And I got the Addams Family movie from a McDonald's.
Oh.
I remember we got that and Field of Dreams. Maybe my parents got Ghost too. I never watched it because I was terrified of like the weird shadow things dragging people to the underworld.
Oh, sure. Well, you and your monster dreams.
Yeah, maybe that's the source of it.
I think that I was trying to look up if they had been on the Flintstones. They had something that was like Addams Family. They were called the Gruesome Family.
Oh, yes. And they had like their eyes were covered with their hair. Family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep,
so it wasn't quite that. But I could see where my little mind was thinking it was a crossover event.
Well, it's funny because you could say that like they're riffing on the Addams Family, yeah. but the Flintstones are already riffing on the Honeymooners.
I know.
Par for the course for the Flintstones.
And what's the other? There's another. I used to get it mixed up when I was a kid.
There Stoney Curtis?
No. What's the other sort of scary family?
Oh, the Munsters?
Yes.
So I was going to pose this question to you. Why do you think the Addams Family has a much more lasting legacy than the Munsters? Even though I would argue Herman Munster, a very funny guy.
I don't know, because I think, now that I think about it, I think both of them are on. So they were both in the 1960s, these sitcoms. I think, you know, if I had to choose, I like the Munsters more than I like the Addams Family.
Yeah, if there was like two channels that were both playing those shows, I'd probably pick the Munsters.
Huh. Yeah, it was a confusing thing for me as a child, what they were, the difference. Let's see.
And then also, when you think about with the Addams Family, they both had very memorable theme songs, too. But maybe the Addams Family kind of wins out on that.
Yeah, it's so great. So great. In the hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer just texted in. She said, I think I have the Addams Family cards that you were talking about.
Whoa, we got to see those cards, Jennifer.
Here's the story. They were always in my grandma's buffet, and I would get them out whenever we visited the farm. I have that buffet now, and the Addams Family cards are still in their rightful place.
Wow.
That is so cool.
I don't think I have any Addams Family memorabilia. One day, though.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you this morning. You can text us at 218-326-1234. The Up North Report is coming up next.
Support for KXE comes from Woodworks Homes, dedicated to the art of building in northern Minnesota by constructing handcrafted new homes and offering remodeling services. More at woodworksmn.com. Now it's time for the Up North Report.
KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. School districts across northern Minnesota saw mixed success with referendum attempts at the ballot boxes Tuesday. Voters in Walker, Hackensack, Akeley approved two capital bonding requests with more than 60% of the vote for each question. And Crosby Ironton saw overwhelming support to increase its operating levy by more than $1,500 per student. Some school districts, like Deer River and Hibbing, went to voters for both capital and operating referendum requests, which were rejected by more than 60% of the vote. Out at the polls, northern Minnesotans shared with our news team why they showed up to vote. At one of three polling sites for Walker, Hackensack, Akeley's referendum requests, some voters from the Akeley area shared their support for capital bonding measures, the first $16 million ask being tax neutral, and the second expected to have about a $12 a year impact on a $200,000 home. Teacher Rachel Hoffelt of Akeley says she supports the measures that the district says would be put toward upgrading the heating and cooling system, building out secure entrances, and upgrading its bus garage.
They need good transportation, and if they can't get the kids to school, the kids can't learn.
News director Chelsea Perkins visited Crosby, where supporters of Crosby Ironton's operating levy request were hoping the third time's a charm. Lisa Rydberg says she felt positive energy around this year's attempt.
The school board did its work to really push to make this work for the community, so I hope it works for the community because it needs to have a thriving school.
The levy would provide $1.5 million annually for 10 years, and it's the district's third attempt to win a referendum vote in as many years. More than $1 million in budget cuts occurred after the first two failed attempts. Timothy Hummel and his wife Diane of Ironton say they voted in favor. Hummel is a lifelong resident, a 1973 graduate of the school, and his children and grandchildren have also been educated there.
When the mines moved out of here, this town went into like hibernation mode. And now with mountain biking and kayaking, fishing, people are coming back here. But they won't come back if the school is dead.
Over in Deer River, reporter Megan Buffington spoke with voters deciding on two referendum questions along with a special school board seat. One levy would provide operating dollars while the other would fund capital improvements like upgrading technology. Similar to many districts, Deer River is facing rising costs and declining enrollment.
Dan Graff's three kids went to Deer River and graduated within the past few years. He voted against both requests, saying he believed there was plenty of room to make cuts without them being draconian.
Problem is, as a small district, you can't be everything to all people. So you've got to really fine-tune what you can and can't allow for or cover the expense of.
Find the rest of the results at KAXE.org. A Roseau man may be heading to tribal court after the Red Lake Nation seized his vintage airplane. In an article by Aviation International News, Darren Smedsmo says he was attempting to travel from Roseau to Bemidji on October 15th for flying lessons. His engine seized up over Lower Red Lake while flying at an altitude of 3,500 feet. He was not injured after landing the plane on a road within reservation boundaries. In a statement issued Monday, the Red Lake Tribal Council sought to clarify the rationale for impounding Smedsmo's plane, saying he conducted an unlawful emergency landing on tribal lands. The Tribal Council passed a resolution in 1978 that banned flights over the reservation under 20,000 feet. This action came after the Air Force requested the Federal Aviation Administration to allow low-altitude, high-speed training flights across northern Minnesota. In the Monday statement, the Tribal Council says Smedsmo was assisted by tribal law enforcement after his emergency landing. The impoundment was on the grounds that the aircraft landed on reservation land without prior authorization or required coordination with tribal authorities. The matter remains under investigation, and the council says court proceedings will provide Smedsmo with due process under tribal law. Lawyers advising Smedsmo are raising questions about whether the Red Lake Nation's airspace claims are legitimate, since FAA charts do not show that restriction. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Heidi Holton. Coming up at 9 o'clock, it's going to be Headwaters with Kari Henlon. And before that, we've got Area Voices, my conversation with comedian Mary Mack.
Fun.
We received support from Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's Apple Service Center in Bemidji and Grand Rapids, offering both in-warranty and out-of-warranty service on Apple products and computer repair. More at paulbunyan.net.
And thanks also to the Blandin Foundation, strengthening rural Minnesota. More at blandinfoundation.org.
So we were talking about the Addams Family and the Flintstones and all sorts of different 60s related thing. And we heard from Betsy Crabb, Stoney Curtis sent me over the edge. I was so glad I pulled the name Stoney Curtis.
That was good. It was good. And I knew what you were talking about, but I just blew through it, you know? There was some stuff like that that... I don't know. Was absolutely great on some of those shows.
Do you remember Fred Flintstone's boss's name?
Oh.
I don't know his first name, but I just know his last name. Mr. Slate.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there we go.
And he looked a lot like Cogswell's Cogs from the Jetsons, who was Spacely Sprocket's rival.
Sure. I do need to put an apology out there to Betsy Crabb. It was, you know, we just had Halloween last week and she didn't get her dose of me saying the word hobo. For some reason, she loves when I say hobo. I dressed as a hobo like 4 years running.
Oh, wow.
I would run out of ideas and just like, I'm going to be a hobo.
I've only done a repeat costume once, and that was a child. I was a pirate twice. It was
because you like the eye patch.
I think so. And I had a hook for a hand thing.
Whoa,
too.
Oh, nice.
But my favorite Halloween costume as a kid was probably, I got to be the Riddler when Batman Forever came out.
Fun.
Can you imagine little Andrew being the Riddler, just being a menace?
You're so excited. You're so excited.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Thanks for tuning in today. Tell us what's going on where you are. Our question of the week has to do with this weekend, whether it is gathering with your friends at the deer stand. You know, some people have some really interesting, like sharing deer stand sort of thing. I know a group of women that hunt together and they have a event where they, you know, process the deer together and they split it up. So It doesn't matter, you know, who got the deer or not.
So for me on hunting season lately, my favorite part of it is actually the green cheese that happens during hunting season.
It's so fun.
Because so many different hunting groups come up and they're all playing green cheese. Yeah. This weekend, it's going to be Julie Crabb hosting from 7 to 9.
And Betsy.
Betsy will be there too. So that's going to be, I think, a really fun green cheese this weekend for hunting season.
I feel like that's what, you know, if I'm somewhere else, you know, representing KXE, that is the thing people will say. It's not just green cheese. They'll say, oh my God, I first heard you guys when we were at deer camp. You know, like it's your gateway into KEXE. And you're right. It's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of that, last weekend, so much fun to hear Alex and Mia and Mike Spry on Kids Cheese. That was so great. That happened right before, during our membership appreciation week, right before cheese. So
yeah, I guess we haven't had a chance to talk about it. Guess the Groove, we had that in Bemidji last week, and we had a great turnout, and it was super fun. And the thing that surprised me the most is like how engaged people, because we had a tie at the end.
Oh, wow.
And we had to do two tiebreakers
where,
so what I had them do is I had each team that was tied for first, they had to pick one representative of their team.
Okay.
And then they came up to the front by the stage and they had to face the audience, and I would play a song, and they would have to, whoever raises their hand first and says the name of the artist in the song, they would win the game.
Wow.
So
now you were the mastermind behind this.
Yes.
How this went. Like, what kind of music? Give me an idea of what it was like, or what songs.
So, like, for the 60s, we had, like, Tommy James and the Shondells songs. We had the Supremes on there.
Okay.
And then we had, like, Led Zeppelin on there. So we were trying to represent the full decade kind of thing. And then 70s, we tried to do that as much as we could for all the decades kind of thing. And, you know, some teams did better during certain rounds, and then they would catch up in the next round, that because that was their decade kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was super fun. People, I had to numerous times tell them, please do not continue singing the song after it's over. You're only helping your neighbors.
Did you do it in mean voice?
No, I tried not to, but I don't know. I think I come off meaner than I mean to.
So Judge That Jam was going on the same night in Grand Rapids. That was a lot of fun. It was hosted by Kari and Malachi, and everybody got pieces of paper, 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. So 10 pieces of paper. And so it was a really fun, like, gut reaction to listening to the beginning of a song and what you thought of it. And then we'd go around with microphones, and if, like, they would be willing to talk, like, why did you give it a 10? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, you're kind of, they didn't have time to think through their feelings. Does that make sense? So it's really fun. Like, like, you just, like, say it. And there were a number of really engaged kids that were doing this and loving it. Yeah. And we could also guess if you wanted to.
Who the artist was?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. So cool stuff. I know we were jealous. We wanted to be at Guess That Groove. And you guys hopefully wanted to be a judge that jam. So maybe we can do these again. If you were there, let us know what it was like for you at either event. 218-326-1234. Thanks to everybody who came out. The next night we were at Jack Pine Brewery, and a nice turnout there as well in Baxter. So that's our goal. We're going to get out into the community more and get to know folks and
We're your community radio station.
That's right.
So let me ask you this. When you were going around talking to people with the microphone, did you feel like a syndicated daytime talk show host?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I clicked into something. I can be in person, can be a little more shy than I am on the air. But it was fun. It was fun.
Do you think
you
could host a daytime talk show host or a show?
No. A radio one, maybe.
Radio one?
Yeah. A TV would really. But yeah, I felt like that was kind of running around with the microphone. And
You, sir, what do you think?
Uh-huh. I was like, okay, we have a 10 here. Do we have a 10 here? That give us the reason why. You know, like and then I sort of went into this thing. I don't know if anybody heard my joke, but I was enjoying it myself of pretending like it was an auctioneer. We have a 4 over here. Is a 4? So I enjoyed myself a little bit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We received support from the Lake Country Journal, a local lifestyle magazine sharing stories about places to go, things to do, and people to know in Lake Country. More at lakecountryjournal.com. And don't forget, we were talking earlier about the upcoming volunteer training that's going on next week. Do you love music? Then why not come on down and be a DJ? It's super fun. That's how I got started at the station.
Me too.
Tammy Bobrowski dragged me to the, well, she didn't drag me, but she convinced me to go. Mm-hmm. Brought my friend John Andringa. He decided not to continue, but he got the training, so he could have at any time.
That's right.
But volunteers really are the lifeblood of our station, and so we're always looking for more. And next Wednesday, November 12th, training will be going on at KXE in Grand Rapids or in Bemidji at KBXE on Thursday, November 13th. Both classes go from 5:30 to 7 p.m. You don't need to go to both. You just need to go to one.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ Dang and Kari Hedlund will show you the ropes, teach you all the things you need to know. They won't let you go on the air without you knowing what you need to do. So,
yeah,
like, don't worry about that.
Right. It's not just one this night and then you throw your throat on the air. Then you get partnered with people, you get to sit in, and you take it as you are comfortable. Once you're ready to go on the air, then you can start kind of scheduling shifts. But you had a really good point there. This might be a great opportunity to grab a friend and come to it together.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to go to things by yourself.
Yep.
But when you bring a friend, all of a sudden you're a united front.
Yeah,
you can,
for sure.
You can take on all comers.
There you go.
So email volunteer at KAXE.org for more info or to confirm attendance. Now it's time for Area Voices, my conversation with comedian Mary Mack. My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I'm the producer of Area Voices. Comedian Mary Mack is making her return to Bemidji this Friday at the Rail River Folk School. I was excited to ask about what it is about Minnesota that seems to have such a thriving stand-up comedy scene. And as someone who has dabbled in stand-up comedy, I was very curious what made her take the leap into stand-up in the first place.
Well, I had a polka band in Nashville, Tennessee, and, you know, I'm from, born in Minnesota, grew up in Wisconsin. My roommate was Wisconsin polka person as well, so we started something there, and our band wasn't very good, and we had to stall for time in between the songs, so pretty soon the crowd said, you know what, we like the talking better than the song. So that's how I got into it.
So was it something that, like, you grew up around stand-up, like watching stand-up or anything, or was it just kind of, it just happened?
No, I just liked having fun, and I was liked writing jokes when I was a kid. I didn't mean to be a stand-up at all. It was an accident, and I really never saw live stand-up comedy before I tried live stand-up comedy. And yeah, it was an accident from polka. I would talk between the songs, and people said, you should just try doing that, and that's how I got into it. But I will say, I only saw one comedy special in my life, and it was on a VHS tape, and it was Louis Anderson back when I was a little kid. And, you know, I didn't even think that was his job. I didn't think you could do that. But that was the only one, and it was a great special, and I remember thinking it was funny, and it's so weird that I don't see that much comedy because it's too much to do that for you. Like, you don't go to your job and weld all day and then go home and watch other people weld. So it's kind of similar to that with my thinking, is I just don't want to get too sick of it. I love it, I admire it, but not gonna do it all every 24 hours of the day.
So I'm curious then, with kind of just diving right into stand-up, did it seem like it was easier for you to, like, find your voice and stand up that way?
You know, it takes years to find your voice and stand up, even though I just try to, you know, once I just realized I could just be more of myself on stage and you could just be honest on stage, it didn't take me long to figure that out. And I guess all your life experiences help you find your voice.
So, on your website, you describe your style as folk humorist. Like, how did you figure out that was, like, your style?
I mean, I grew up very rural. I grew up in the woods, and my family, they never made a living at it, but they were all very good storytellers. So I kind of started more like storytelling, and I always loved Prairie Home Companion, and now I'm more into writing the really tight jokes, but I admire all of it, and I also started in music, so I would sing kind of folksy songs when I started, and I would accompany myself with a mandolin just because it was smaller than a guitar, and I would only learn enough to play something, a little something in the, you know, beyond the song, but that was all I wanted to learn. I had my main instrument is clarinet, so I just felt comfortable starting singing folk songs that were silly, and then it just turned into what it is now, where I try to write really efficient jokes, and if I can weave them into a story, that's great.
Growing up in Minnesota, what do you think it is about Minnesota? Because there is such a strong comedy scene in this state. What do you think it is about Minnesota that is a draw for stand-up?
Well, I think that a lot of people, just being from Minnesota, we are pretty good at making fun of ourselves. And so I think that attracts people to stand-up, and, you know, it ebbs and flows as far as, like, people coming here for stand-up or how well the clubs are doing, or it just up one decade, down another decade.
So this is going to be your second time performing in Bemidji. How would you describe your first experience here?
Fantastic. I always think that Bemidji's really into the arts, and people are thoughtful and appreciative, and a lot of craft culture as well. And so I think people are great at listening and observing. And, of course, it's a little colder than the Twin Cities there. So, you know, I feel like the colder you go, the better the sense of humor. So I really loved it, and I love that I get to come back, and that's coming up soon.
Yeah, so I was curious, do you have an openers for this show too, or is it just you doing stand up?
Well, sometimes I just want to hog the whole stage. Sometimes I have a lot to talk about, and sometimes I want to bring somebody, and, you know, I think I have a lot I want to talk about, and hopefully my voice holds out so that I'll do a first half and a second half, and I always like writing and bringing new material to people as well, so I'm excited about bringing some new bits, as they say.
So where can people get tickets for the show?
Well, people can go to marymaccomedy.com, or Rail River Folk School has a Facebook page with a ticket link. Otherwise, it's posted at marymaccomedy.com, and other videos and mailing lists and things there. But most importantly, I'd love to fill up this great venue. They have a lot of fun events, and it's such a unique place to perform that I'm just so glad they wanted to have me back. The venue is really fitting to my style of comedy because it's a little outside of town, kind of feels sort of rural and folksy, and so I think it's a really good fit for my comedy. And also, my sixth season of my cartoon, Solar Opposites, just came out on October 13th on Hulu, and so I wanted to throw that out there in case people were wondering what my day job was.
Are there other projects you're currently working on?
I'm constantly recording video, like multi-camera video shoots for a project I have called North Star Comedy Hour. It's a variety show I've been doing for 20 years. And when the pandemic started, after we all had that time off, I decided to scale it, you know, make a large-scale production out of it. So they're all professionally recorded and slowly going up on Apple Podcasts and my website, Mary Mac and North Star Comedy Hour. It's a lot like, I call it Prairie Home Companion meets Red Green with an Edge. And so it's a radio style variety show, and that's my passion project, and I hope people will listen to the podcast and maybe we can get it out there more.
Mary Mac has been my guest today. Her comedy show will be this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Rail River Folk School in Bemidji. Aerial Voices is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
All right. That was Area Voices. Don't forget, you can always check out Area Voices on KXE.org, the website.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great way to catch up on local artists or community organizations that support the arts. You went down to Brainerd for a arts event, didn't you?
Yeah. So on an upcoming Area Voices, we're hitting the road, as Woo-hoo. We would like to say. And I went down to Brainerd to the Crossing Arts Alliance.
Wait a minute. He put his hand in the air and pointed when he said hitting the road. So
of the 8x8 fundraiser that the Crossing Arts Alliance does, where they send out a bunch of 8x8 pieces of
canvas.
Canvas. And local artists make their own little paintings. Some did like sewed stuff.
Okay.
Like that. And one guy did a metalworks thing over the canvas kind of thing. So it was a really neat thing. I got to talk to a bunch of people. I'm excited to put that together. It was fun just like going up to people with a microphone like you were doing and just like, hey, what do you think of this event kind of thing?
Yeah. I love stuff like that where people come up with a special thing that they're going to do that might bring in different artists, you know?
Well, that's why I wanted to go is because I was curious to see like the local Brainerd artist. Maybe it's like someone who only paints by themselves and does this like once a year. I would like to talk to them. Like why?
Right.
What made you want to come out for this part kind of thing?
Did we get a text?
We did get a text from Kevin talking about who was at the events last week and the highlights for them. And Kevin said, highlight at Clockow, Jen voting either 1 or 10, nothing in between.
That was Jen Gorman, our board president. And she was very adamant on both sides. It was very funny. I think that was more interesting. Kari had said, told people you shouldn't, I don't want any fives, is what she told people.
Oh,
and I was
really?
Like, take the five out of there, is what I told her. But we ran out of time.
So
but.
Let me ask you something. When you're rating something, like let's say, do you have a Goodreads account?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you do star ratings for your books? Okay, you don't do that.
I don't want to.
But if you did,
yeah.
What would you say that the book starts at 0 and works its way up? Or do you start like, for me, when it comes to a movie, they're at a 2.5, just like right down the middle average.
Okay.
And if the movie's good, the stars will go up. If it goes bad, they go down.
2.5 out of what?
Out of 5.
Okay.
So right down the middle.
That's generous of you.
I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And you got to either work to impress me or you got to be bad and depress me.
Yeah, I don't rate the books that I read. And I think part of it is I used to do a lot of interviews with authors back in the day. And the authors are on Goodreads.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes you do interviews with authors, and it's not exactly your favorite cup of tea, but it's a really interesting book and it's a really interesting topic. And you know that someone else is going to really love this book. Like it can't just be about yourself. And so I think I thought, like, I don't want to put my personal opinion on Goodreads because a lot of the authors are on there and they're seeing that kind of thing. And I read a lot, so I don't. It's like, I need a whole different rating system, like within light books or this kind of book or that kind of, you know, I don't know. Every time I do it, I'm like, should I rate this? And I'm like, I can't start now, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, no, I haven't. It's weird. I just was thinking that 2 days ago about, should I do this? Because I was just putting in that I finished a book and I said, nope, no rating.
So I just read a book the other day. It was an older book from the 60s. The author might be dead, so I'm not too worried about them finding out what I rated it. But I gave it 2 stars, and then I was seeing on the page, and people were like, 5 stars. This is one of my favorite books of all time. I'm like, did we read the same book? This can't be right.
I know. That happened to me with a book that I felt.